In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us quiet our hearts and our minds, put our hands together in opening thanksgiving and prayer. Our beloved, dear Heavenly Father, as we come before Thy holy and undying word this morning, we ask that You remember all of us individually and very personally with the different situations in our life that are causing us grief and sorrow. Many times, dear Father, these thoughts of grief and sorrow and sadness, they stem from our sinful portion, but also they sometimes surround us because of those loved ones around us who are struggling, who are having difficulties. Whatever it may be, dear Father, instill in us the thought that the most important matter in our life of faith, it is our personal endeavor toward heaven. As we begin these days of Easter, dear Father, we have so much to give thanks unto You for, that Thou gave Thine only begotten Son to die so that we do not have to die in our sins and be eternally removed, separated from God. We thank Thee for this gift of living faith that You have granted unto the weakest, unto the poorest, unto us that are the most sinful. We cannot thank You enough for this gift, but humbly we thank Thee, dear Father, that You yet count us, Thy children, as Thine own. As we come before Your holy and undying word, dear Heavenly Father, give us that portion that we need this day. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Today, in the church calendar, as many of you are aware, we can see that today is Palm Sunday. And we had group Sunday school this morning where we went through the Passion Week very briefly with the Sunday School children and the teachers. And I told them that as I came here somewhat early today to make sure that the technology worked and was up and running, when the short presentation was taking place, as I walked in here, I saw that there were these on the left and the right hand side, the big leaf or leaves, and it was a very nice picture and a nice touch. And it struck me as I came here that today, even in a visible sense, we can see or we're being reminded that today is Palm Sunday. And one of the pictures that we displayed onto this wall, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, we were able to see that those palm leaves that they were holding in their hands, they looked just like these leaves that are here in front. I thought I would read a text from the Gospel of Mark from its 11th chapter, the first 11 verses that pertain to this event when these palm leaves were displayed. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he said unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat on. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without, in the place where two ways meet, and they lose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, losing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Amen. The Gospels, which are recorded in the New Testament, we know a certain amount of Matthew, of Luke, and of John. We don't know a great deal about Mark, who wrote this this gospel. But, and I didn't know, I knew very little about Mark, so I had to do a little bit of research and reading. And the thought is that Mark was a very close friend to Apostle Peter. And even though not much is said about him, the Gospel of Mark is included in our Bible for a reason. And when we go through the events that they record, some record all events together, some have left certain ones out and added some events. And if we look through the Gospels, we can easier build an understanding of the different accounts, something that struck into their eyes and their mind that God told them that this was important for you to write down. So we can maybe get a better picture of everything that took place when we read the different Gospels separately and then put them together. As we mentioned in the beginning, today is Palm Sunday, which is a time when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Now, prior to this, Jesus is entering the last few days in his public ministry upon this earth. So now, about 3 years of his time, he had been teaching, he had been healing, and he had been comforting the ones that believed on him. But also he had been rebuking and pointed out sin also to those that believed on him, but to those that were opposed to him and didn't believe him. As he was coming down, viewing the city of Jerusalem, he knew what was going to happen to him. He knew that there was a great deal of enemies that waited for him. He knew that there was some excruciating and horrible pain that he will have to undergo once he enters that city. He had enemies there that were looking to trap him, find fault in him, and to kill him. And as I reminded Sunday school teachers, the children, and myself this morning, when Jesus was before Pontius Pilate for questioning, Pontius Pilate asked him who he was, "Where do you come from?" And Jesus was quiet and he didn't answer him. Pontius Pilate told him that, "Who do you think you are? Are you refusing to answer my questions? Do you not know that I have the power to either free you or to sentence you to death? And Jesus told him that you can do nothing of your own. Nothing is possible for you unless it is God's will and God allows you to do that. That is the only way that you can free me and that you can sentence me to death. So we can see that the work that Jesus was set to do those few days that he had left in his life, those things were going to be carried out to the last letter because it was God's will. So we can see that everything is possible to God. He is able to help and remove things before us if it is his will. And I would ask you that are here this morning, that have you experienced this in your life? When there have come times when it seems that your world just crashed. Something has happened, and it seems that it is impossible to continue forward. Or at the very least, a very difficult time to move forward. But with the help of God, as we can see throughout scriptures, God helped the former believers, just as he has helped us in our trials and difficulties. We don't always know, we can't specifically point to one thing, that this exact thing happened, and that's what helped us overcome the difficulties. But little by little, God helps us. He removes things when we don't see. And as time go forward, we don't know everything that God did to help us. But we can reflect back and see that something took place and we were able to overcome those obstacles, and we are yet continuing, even though it still is from time to time very difficult to believe one day at a time. We are all, one way or another, our flesh, our mind, it is prone to sin, and we fall in many different ways into sin. But yet, we are called God's children. And when God looks upon us from heaven, he sees us, those that continue to endeavor to believe, as his own. Why is that? It is not because of what we have done, and we know this. We feel that we have not been successful. may we remember when we go through the time of Easter, the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed. It was shed for us very personally, for the sins that I commit. That's why he had to die. And the reason why God looks upon us as his children is because he looks through that blood that has washed away the sins of those who continue to believe. And through that blood, he sees people that are clothed in white. Those that put their sins away in the name and in the blood of Jesus. We are no different from those who are wandering in the darkness of unbelief in this sense, that we commit sin many times the same way and the very same sins as they fall into. But we wash them away with the blood of Christ. This Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and they expected to, the people that waited for him, greeted him. Now they had been with Jesus in many of the places where the miracles took place. He was able to feed thousands of people with just a little bit of food. Those who were dead, Jesus resurrected them from the dead. Those who had never been able to see their mother, their father, their siblings, and their friends, they had never been able to see the place where they lived. They never had seen their own house. Jesus gave them eyesight, and they were able to see everything all of a sudden. In a blink of an eye, they now saw everything that we see with our natural eyes. Now I can relate. Sometimes I have sat there in the bench and when the speaker has been up there and he has gone on this story and he forgets what he was trying to, the point that he was trying to make. I can relate to that now. I don't remember. Oh, these people that were in Jerusalem, they had seen, many of them had seen all these events that took place. And now they wanted and they expected that this man, he is so different. He is able to do things that we have never been able to see anyone do before. They are miracles, nothing short of miracles. And they expected someone to come there that would now give them relief from work, from food, from worries, from diseases and different kinds of sicknesses, that he is now going to help them in every way possible. And they just have to be close to him or ask him to do these things, and it'll happen. So when, along with those people, were also some of those who wanted to believe and believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They genuinely believed on Jesus. And as we can see in the latter part of our text, that when he came to Jerusalem, they spread, in the 8th verse, it says that they spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and they laid them also before him. And they that went before, and they that followed, they cried, and they said, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, he told his disciples to go into the village. In the 2nd verse, he instructed them what to do, where to go, and what to ask for. And he told them that you're going to find a colt that is tied there, an animal that nobody has ever ridden on or sat on before. And to lose him and bring that animal to him. And if someone is going to ask you that, why do you do this? To tell him that the Lord needs him. And right away, they're going to let that animal go and let you guys bring that animal to me. So here we can see that this king, the King of Kings, who rode into Jerusalem, he didn't come with clamor, with glitz, and with in any kind of style that we would expect and they expected the kings of this world when they arrive. Jesus entered Jerusalem on a very simple animal, on a donkey, that was able to carry a heavy burden, a great weight on his back. So why did God choose this type of entrance? Does this not show us, and even this thought, that he rode in to Jerusalem in this way, with an animal that is that simple and lowly? Does not even that thought alone spring the thought in our minds that God is approachable by us. God wants us to not be afraid and scared to come closer to Him. I think that this way that He entered into Jerusalem is more of a, it's an inviting way that don't be afraid. Come close to me. You don't have to be scared. He came here as a servant in a very lonely and in a very simple kind of way. We remember that just a few months back, how He was born on Christmas Day for us in a very simple way, in a lowly way, so that we can approach Him. Maybe we feel that we are timid and afraid to approach Him because we are such great sinners. Throughout the Bible, we can see that Jesus was the friend. He was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of those who were sick. And He gave us righteousness by humbling Himself. And the events that took place that Friday, when He became sin for us, God knows that we need help, and He knows that we are prone to sin. Jesus came to suffer and die for our behalf. And we are reminded of this when we partake of that event that He taught His disciples to partake of on Maundy Thursday, the Holy Communion. We are reminded once again that Jesus died for our sins. When I was younger, I heard many times that the Holy Communion, it is one of the sacraments that are, they are placed here so we would become strengthened in faith. And I didn't understand why. But as time goes on, we realize that we are reminded very personally during the communion that we are great sinners, but yet God has shown grace unto us, and we are comforted that we are yet believers when we want to continue to believe in the name and blood of Jesus. We have also been reminded many times that we carry two portions here. And one of the portions is our old portion who is very, very slow to believe on the promises of God. That portion is, it's almost like a magnet that we are drawn to the world. But remember this, dear brother and sister, that when we are drawn, when that portion is drawn to the world, it is drawn to a place where you can find no peace for your soul. There is no comfort in the world for our life of faith. And the world is a, it's not a good place for us to be. And we may have heard from those who have fallen away from living faith sometimes things that happen there to them, they are very sad and terrible things that happen to them. How, and sometimes how quickly their life becomes so dark, becomes so full of sin and corruption that we wonder that how can they not remember what we taught them at home? The enemy of souls is very powerful. Very, very powerful. But remember when Jesus was led to the wilderness, and he was there on top, at the very tip of the mountain. He was tempted there by the devil. And the devil wanted nothing more than to Jesus to fall down and die. And he promised Jesus all these things. All the kingdoms of the world you can have if you believe what I say. And Jesus responded him with the word of God. And as he was standing there at the very tip, the enemy of souls could not do as much as lift a finger and push Jesus over so that he would die. He couldn't do anything but to give him lies, to preach him lies. That was the only thing that he was able to do. So, God, the power of God, is much more powerful than the enemy of souls. The Word of God is so powerful that all the sins that have attached along the way, it doesn't matter if they have been in unbelief for tens of years. The power of God is so powerful that if they want to believe, and we preach to them that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, every sin that has been committed, they are forgiven. And now God looks upon them also as one who is clothed with white, and they are also heaven acceptable, just as we that have been believing for decades. God doesn't place us before them, but rather He places them before us, so that we remain humble. That's one of the teachings in one of the Gospels, the parable of Master's vineyard, the workers that were going to get paid. The last was placed first, and everyone received the same amount at the end of the day. That is important for us to remember. We that are traveling toward heaven today, remember to show love to those who are not only in the kingdom of God, but especially to those who are outside of God's kingdom. And remind them that all your sins can be forgiven. It doesn't matter how much sin you have in your conscience. A child of God can forgive them in the name and in the blood of Jesus. Jesus showed this type of love on Palm Sunday and many other times. He showed love toward those outside of God's kingdom, even if that love was not returned to Him. Yet He continued to love them. That's an example to us, to continue to love those outside of God's kingdom also, even if they don't show love toward us. And He even taught to love thy neighbor above all things. Love one another, not only in the kingdom, those within the kingdom of God, but those that are on the outside, because they have an undying soul also. And if they do not believe, they will be forever removed from the grace, from the goodness, and the love of God. So Jesus instructed His disciples to go and get that animal. And just a thought that came to my mind as I was looking at this text. Jesus here, He says that that they went to get this colt that was tied by the door where two roads come together. And the thought that I had was that when I was a teenager, I had a period in my life where it was very difficult. I struggled. I walked with one foot outside of God's kingdom, and yet I came to services and I greeted people with God's peace when they greeted me with God's peace. And so I felt the pull from the world to come this way. The thought that I had was that it came to a point where I had to choose. I felt that I had to choose one of two ways. Jesus wants to lead those who are confused, those who want to reason within themselves as to why they should go the way of the world instead of following Jesus. The Word of God and Jesus has never steered wrong or taught anything that is not good for us. Because if we put the draw or the enticement of the enemy of souls into words, we can put it into words in this way, that the enemy of soul is saying, come to my side. I promise you that you will never find peace. And I promise you that if you continue to believe to the lies that I tell you, you will never inherit heaven. You will be forever apart from God. That is the message, when everything is stripped down, that the enemy of souls is preaching to those who do not want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And take that to the words, to the encouragement that Jesus gives when we want to follow Him. Follow me. I will help you every day. When it seems that nothing can be done, I will help you. I will comfort you. I will send you my people to take care of you. And as often as you want, I will forgive your sins in the name and in the blood of Jesus. And in that way, you will be brought to heaven where you will never have to worry about anything anymore. There will always be peace. There will always be joy. Now take that message to the message that we hear from the enemy of souls. But yet, especially as when we are young, typically, in teenage years, but many times even after when we are older, we are so close to believing the enemy of souls. And we want to go that way. That's how weak we are. So dear brothers and dear sisters, God knows that we are weak. He knows that we are in need of His help and the gospel. So believe this morning all your sins, your weaknesses, your doubts, your own reasonings forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. All your sins. They're all forgiven. I can relate. I think that I can relate to all the temptations. Don't think of us that come to this place that we are any different from you, because we are not. Can I believe my sins forgiven? Another thought that came to my mind when I was looking at this text was in the 5th and 6th verse. It says that a certain of them that stood there said unto them, "What do ye, losing the colt?" And they said unto them, "Just as Jesus has commanded them." And they let them go. They let them go with this animal. Everything that we have, all the temporal gifts, things that we have been given unto us by the Heavenly Father as gifts. This man who had been given this colt, these animals as gifts from our Heavenly Father, had been also given a heart to understand and to see that this is a gift of God that I have. And now God is asking for this, for what is His, to be given back to Him. And He accepted that. Now these gifts come in many, many, many different ways. They could be material things, but they could also be gifts, spiritual gifts. And in the kingdom of God, we know that there's lots of work to be done in many different ways. Whether it is as a Sunday school teacher, you that are teaching at home, you Bible class teachers, organists, song leaders, translators, and those that come to this place. The congregation has seen that God has given you gifts. And there are times, just as very recently I heard, that God asked for these gifts in the congregation there in Alaska, where they have been praying to God that they would get their own minister, their own servant of the word. And God has heard their prayers, and He had answered them by not giving them one, but two speakers. And maybe it will happen here too, that God will call more servants. The gifts that God has given you, don't hide those gifts. It would be as to, God has given me this, and I'm not going to give this to anyone. I'm going to keep it to myself. There are times when God will say that there are gifts over there. Go there and ask them to give those gifts back to me so I can use it so that I can serve my people in the way that I think they should be used. So that is also, it's very important that we don't hide the spiritual gifts that God has given unto us. Even though we don't understand that these gifts are actually good enough to be brought before the congregation or the children of God in any way. We don't understand it. In the next verse, in verse 7, it says that the disciples, they brought this colt unto Jesus. And I'm thinking that, as with many of the things, the disciples, they didn't understand what it was going to be used as. There were so many times that the disciples, they did not understand, but yet they wanted to believe. Remember when they went out fishing and they had toiled all night and they didn't catch any fish, and Jesus came there and He told them to throw the net over there. Now, I'm sure they had circled around the lake all night. They had gotten nothing. And the disciples of Jesus, they told Him that, but Jesus, we have fished all night, and we don't have anything. But according to Thy word and Thy will, I will cast the net to where You told me to. See, a mind of man does not understand the the purpose of God. So if you are asked to help the children of God in whatever way, you don't near always understand why and why it would be you. But God gives the increase. And he taught the disciples there on that lake at the very end when they threw the net and they got so much fish that the ship began to sink. And he told them that from now on, you will be the fishers of men. Oh, how many times we have to humble ourselves before the face of God and to say that God, once again, God was right. God knows what he is doing, even if we don't understand it. And dear brothers and dear sisters, when we look at this descent and the travel through Jerusalem on Palm Sunday when Jesus entered the city, remember this, God chose the lowliest, the simplest, and the most, I don't know what else, what other words to use, an animal, so that his work and his will would continue to be done. Is this done in the same way today? Has he chosen the weakest to humble the wisest? Has he chosen the smallest to humble the greatest? We must say that nothing has changed in that regard. Jesus chose the lowliest of animals to present himself. Jesus has chosen the sinners to present himself in this world, pardoned sinners. Believe all your sins and all your doubts, your shortcomings forgiven, in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, all your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.